Hi, everybody. It's Katie Couric. Have you heard about my newsletter called Body and Soul? It has everything you need to know about health and wellness. From skincare and serums to meditation and brain health, we've got you covered. And most importantly, it's information you can trust. Everything is vetted by experts at the top of their field. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/bodyandsoul. That's KATIECOURIC.com/bodyandsoul. I promise you'll be happier and healthier if you do.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it! Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcast or on the iHeart Radio app.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show! Let's have some fun! On a Wednesday, it's hump day. Are you happy? I'm happy. Even though the country kind of is a disaster right now. We'll go over, you know what? I'm gonna go over something you haven't heard from, something you haven't heard about today when it comes to the state of America. We're gonna go over that here in a minute, but here's what else is on tap for tonight.
Lawfare. Communists protecting their own. Communists attacking their political enemies. We have bribery, open bribery, by the President of the United States and his family, right out in the open. We have war declared on America's churches, a banking situation that's not good. We have real anti-communism in your emails, and so much more is coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. But I'm going to begin today with what I shouldn't begin with, and here's what I mean. The two big stories of the day are the Biden family business getting $20 million in bribes from foreign oligarchs and the FBI, the attack on America's churches is much deeper than most people initially thought. Of course, you knew, I've been telling you about how widespread it was, but now we know that officially. Those are the two stories, and I'll get to those here in just a few minutes. But I saw this headline, and it filled me with rage. And then it just caused me to shake my head. And let's just go over this right now. The headline is, migrant raves about McCarran Park shelter, including hot food, snacks, and a pool. Now, before I get to a couple of the quotes from this article, I just want to clarify something, because this is hard for even many on the very nice American right to accept. We have a country. The United States of America. It is a sovereign country. It's important having a sovereign country that we love, that we want to remain this way. It's important that we here in America do what every country in the history of the world has done and closely monitor and control who's allowed to come in and who must go out. That's like basic country stuff. If you were starting a country just out of nothing at any point in history, you would very quickly in the process, as you were figuring out your country, figure out, okay, how do we protect our borders? How do we stop people from coming here? Because you understand that stopping people from coming here is really, 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 really important. This country has so lost its way that we just allow everybody to storm right over the border. And then, you know what? And while I'm happy about this policy, it's a great policy that we're shipping these people to sanctuary cities like New York City. You asked for it, you get it. Even that makes me angry. You know why it makes me angry? One, why aren't we shipping them back from where they came? Or better yet, turning them away right at the border? That's one. Two, why do I have to ask? You just came into my country illegally. I'll ship you to a remote island off Alaska if I feel like it. I own you. You don't belong here. You're a citizen who violated the sovereignty of my country. I'll ship you to the moon if you come across my border and you don't belong here. And consider yourself lucky if I give you an astronaut suit with oxygen in it. You don't have any right to be here. And I honor and respect the sovereignty of your country, whatever that is. I respect it. I don't come violate it. You violated mine. But instead of turning them away at the border, instead of shipping them wherever the heck we feel like, if we are going to allow them in the house, instead we have to come to them hat in hand. Hey, Mr. Illegal, would you mind a little bus ride to New York City? Maybe we'll even put you on a plane. Hey, we'll fly you first class. It's the American tax. Is that okay, Mr. Illegal? I don't want to do anything that's not okay with you. I just want to make sure it's fine. Instead, we have to go like that to them. And then when we put them on a bus and we ship them up to New York, then I have to read things like this. This is from the article. Quote, this is from this dude from Venezuela. Shipped his whole family up here. Just the whole fam. Come on in, baby. Quote, they treat us very well. There's nothing they stop us from doing. And then this is from the article. While his wife and 5-year-old daughter and 15-year-old son live out of a family migrant hotel in Sunset Park, Brooklyn. So you and I are putting these people up in a hotel. Anyway, I'll go back where he said he was kicked out of for an undisclosed reason. So he already got kicked out of the first daggone place. The asylum seeker, of course, that's what the New York Post calls him, has been enjoying taxpayer-funded amenities such as specially prepared Venezuelan cuisine and free Wi-Fi and international calls at the call center. We not only allow these people to unzip their pants and pull it out and pee all over the sovereignty of this country, we give them special cuisine that they love and free Wi-Fi when they get here. Oh, wait, there's more in the article. Oh, in the park's massive pool next door. Then this is a quote from this guy, Miguel. I brought my wife and children to the pool Sunday. There was no problem. We swam between 12 p.m. and 5 p.m. It's a very nice pool. You understand what this means for this country? Do you understand what it means for the United States of America that we lack the love of country, the appreciation for what we have? We are so lacking in basic patriotism in this nation that we are filling up this country with ungrateful illegal immigrants and giving them free Wi-Fi and special cuisine. And then we print articles in the New York Post about how great it is here, which only inspires the next gigantic caravan of third world hordes that are coming to our border, who will be invited in by the Biden administration and shipped all over the place, including to a theater near you. Do you know they're going to fill up the schools? They're filling up the schools. And cities like New York are about to experience what cities in places like Arizona, Southern California, New Mexico, Texas have experienced forever. Hey, let me know how much you enjoy the new Spanish-speaking only wing. Let me know how you enjoy 40-person class sizes. Let me know how you enjoy the teacher taking no time with your kid because she has to go try to translate for Pablo the entire time. This is how it's been in America. This is a real problem real Americans have been facing forever. Granted, we finally get press coverage for it because it's happening in New York City, so at least I'm grateful for that. But how unprepared we are as a nation. How unserious are we that we treat these people like they're on vacation? They just come storm across the border like it's nothing. Like my country means nothing. Like your country means nothing. And what ticks me off is actually not the communists. Because I know they're destructive, murderous pieces of trash. And I know they only want to flood America with illegals because they believe it will break this country in two. It will overwhelm and flood our systems and help them in their goal to burn America to ash. It's not because they're nice or compassionate. That's why they want the border open. They want to burn America down. But that's not the part that ticks me off the most. The part that ticks me off the most is the lack of spine and testosterone and resolve in the low-T GOP. And many people on the right, including people on the radio, including people on TV, including people in print, if I have to hear one more freaking Republican say to me, well, I'm kind of a squish when it comes to immigration, I'm going to vomit in a trash can. That means you don't love your country. Do you know all the issues we talk about? All of them. We'll get to the Biden stuff here in a minute, but everything, Democrat, Republican, taxes, spending, abortion, it doesn't regulation, it doesn't matter what it is, the military, you know, the greatest gauge for how much you love your country. You ready for this little self-test? How strict are you on immigration? You know why? Because you are extremely strict about access to the things you truly love. If someone knocks on your door tonight and he wants to just come on in and hang with you and the fam, the chances that person is allowed in if you don't know them are virtually zero. Why is that? Because you love your home. You love your family. You can tell how much you love something by how accessible you want it to be. So don't ever say to me, I'm an immigration squish, because all I hear when you say that is, I don't give a crap about my country. I just want to look nice to all my liberal friends and talk about how nice I am to the illegals. Freaking free Wi-Fi, a pool. We got a special Venezuelan cuisine just so it's not uncomfortable. Good freaking grief. Sorry. I know I shouldn't have even talked about it. I knew I was going to get my blood pressure up. I should have just opened with the Biden stuff. I'm fine, Chris. I'm fine now. I'm fine. I should have just opened with the Biden stuff. I just hate when people treat this country like an open sewer. Freaking disgusts me. All right. Get to the Biden stuff. I'm good. You know what? I am, Chris. I'm happy because I'm talking about Pure Talk. All right. I've moved on from these people and I'm talking about Pure Talk. Pure Talk, you know, the patriotic mobile company. You have AT&T or T-Mobile or Verizon. You're actually funding a company that hates your freaking guts. And they take your money and they dump on your values every chance they get. Pure Talk, you not only have to send them a lot less money, my bill got cut in half for a family of four. You're funding a company that loves this country. CEO is a veteran. Their customer service, they're all Americans who speak English. And to switch, here's what it takes. You don't need a new phone. You don't need a new phone number, although you can get those things. You have to pick up your phone and dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That's it. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday night. I got to remind you, I've got Julie Kelly coming up in about 10 minutes. So now, you know, I don't do many guests or calls or whatnot, but Julie, she's the one who's been covering the Trump legal problems in D.C. And before that, she doesn't just care about Trump. She was covering all the January 6th political prisoners, and I've interviewed her 10,000 times. I really lean on her for great information about how evil this justice system is. So she's coming up about 10 minutes from now. Fill us in on the latest news on Trump and what his prospects are and what's happening and things like that. But speaking of the DOJ, I wanted to focus on this. There's been a ton of focus today on the Biden family business getting over $20 million in bribes. And I am going to address that. Maybe soon, maybe after Julie, I am going to address that. But that to me was not
the most damaging thing that came out today. No, I realize it's bad. Okay, president is compromised. Clearly he's compromised. Corrupt, bribed by foreign leaders. Think of all the things Joe Biden can't do or has to do as president because of the dirt these people have on him and his family. And it's really bad, right? I know that's bad. I'm not dismissing it. But there's another story out there today that's so much worse. And that's so much more dangerous. Subpoenaed document reveals that the FBI Richmond field office coordinated with multiple field offices across the country to produce a memo targeting traditional Catholics as domestic terrorists. Christopher Ray, previously said the actions were limited to a single field office. Well, first of all, I don't want to toot my own horn. You know, that's the last thing the Oracle would ever do, is toot his own horn. But who was that guy on the radio as soon as that document came out? Because remember, it was a whistleblower who brought the document from the Richmond field office. FBI whistleblower came forward and said, hey, they're going after Catholics. They're going to infiltrate the church. And the FBI immediately responded by saying, oh, come on. It was a one-off. That never even happened. That was a one-off. And then I said, wait a minute. One whistleblower found one document from one field office. If we know that, then we know this is widespread and already going on. If there are 2,000 pieces of paper stacked up in front of you and someone comes and knocks them all over and they spread out all over the place and you manage to grab one piece of paper, and it makes a reference to something like infiltrating Catholic churches, you have to reasonably assume there's more information on the other pieces of paper that you can't quite see. Don't ever buy the, oh, that was just the only document with that on there stuff. But that's not really what I'm talking about. We're thinking bigger. We're talking bigger, as we always do. Communists go after the religion of the nation. They've always done it. The Orthodox Church in Russia, the communists went after it. Mao went after the Buddhist temples. In Spain, they went after the Catholics, the Catholic churches. Here in America, Catholics, Christians, whatever, however people qualify themselves, believers in Jesus Christ, although you Orthodox Jews are in trouble too, any organized religion, it will be attacked by the communists. That is what communists do in every single country. Organized religion of the nation. It not only tells people that there is a higher calling, a higher purpose. And when you get people thinking that, you think to yourself, well, wait a minute, there's something higher than the government, and the communists can never allow that. And not only does that, equally as damaging for the communist purpose is what organized religion does to families. Organized religions, so many of them, I won't say all, because there's all kinds of weirdo freak ones out there, but organized religions encourage nuclear families. Husbands, wives, children, families, giving people manners, giving people value systems. The communists cannot have people coming from stable families with values. Someone with stable family, with a stable family, who has value, has a very, very, very little chance of actually losing their mind and becoming an evil, demented, death-worshipping communist. Somebody from a broken family, somebody whose parents were just gone and didn't care, no value system at all, that's the ultimate recruit for the communist. The communist wants an entire country full of miserable single women who dyed their hair pink. That's what the communist wants. And not even the hot kind of pink, the gross kind of pink. That's what the communist wants. Because he wants that, he knows he must stop something. But what is it that he, what is it he wants to stop and why? Well, remember we've been talking about the wiener factory, how we're in a wiener making contest and we're trying to make wieners. And instead the communist is buying factories like colleges. They just churn out new wieners. They've got the institutions. We have institutions too. We have institutions that churn out people who vote against Democrats. Those institutions are our churches. They are. Not universal by any means. The church has all kinds of problems. Only half of them even vote. But overall, if you're a communist and you're looking at all of America's institutions and, okay, this one produces more Democrats and that one produces more Democrats. Wait a minute. What's with these daggone churches? The FBI is coming for your church. They may already be in your church. You think I'm crazy. I know you do, and that's fine. They're going to start sending SWAT teams after pastors. They will. For preaching against homosexuality, for preaching biblical things, the FBI's coming for your church. This is a huge deal, not a small deal. You can't wait for the GOP to fund the FBI next month. Now, speaking of structural things, institutions, abortion is an institution, sadly, in this country. And the institutions in America all support it. And all lie to women about it over and over and over again. From the education system to the entertainment industry to politicians, for years, decade after decade after decade, they've been telling women it's a clump of cells. Just kill it. Oh, you don't want to ruin your career. You don't want to ruin your life. Just a clump of cells. Kill it. Preborn, they're the institution we have to use to fight back. They're giving free ultrasounds to these women. Free ultrasound. And when women hear that heartbeat, they choose life. Your $28 is what buys that ultrasound. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and give your $28 tonight. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
With the help of Stanford psychologist Jamil Zaki.
It's really tragic. If cynicism were a pill, it'd be a poison.
We'll see that our fellow humans, even those we disagree with, are more generous than we assume.
My assumption, my feeling, my hunch is that a lot of us are actually looking for a way to disagree and still be in relationships with each other.
All that on the Happiness Lab. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. It's your go-to spot for anything and everything sports. Baseball, football, basketball, hockey, golf, college, whatever's hot in the street, we're talking about it on Wake and Jake. So if you're a diehard fan or looking for the latest buzz, we've got you covered. No matter your favorite sport, we're breaking it down with the passion that'll make you feel like you're in the stands with us. Plus, we've got a bunch of guests, Foolish Bailey, Jolly Olive, Chris Rose, and more. Mock drafts, rankings, whatever you want. It's the sports world, and come on and join our friends in the Wake and Jake family. You will not regret it. So, new episodes Monday and Wednesday. You can watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen to Wake and Jake on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain, but those experiments are the most important scientific discoveries of the time.
I'm Evan Ratliff. Last season, we tackled the ingenuity of Elon Musk with biographer Walter Isaacson. This time, we're diving into the story of Benjamin Franklin, another genius who's desperate to be dusted off from history.
His media empire makes him the most successful self-made business person in America. I mean, he was never early to bed and early to rise type person. He's enormously famous. Women start wearing their hair in what was called the coiffure a la Franklin.
And who's more relevant now than ever.
The only other person who could have possibly been the first president would have been Benjamin Franklin. But he's too old and wants Washington to do it.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for about 30 minutes, I dive into three topics in Major League Baseball that I am interested in. Breaking stories, trends, stats, weird stuff. Sometimes I make up my own stats. Sometimes I do a lot of research, and it ends up, I was wrong the whole time. So that's something you can get in on. Use Jimmy's Three Things podcast to stay up to date on Major League Baseball and to make you just a smidge smarter than your friend who's a baseball fan. You listen to me and then you go tell him, hey, I know this and you don't. So I make you smarter than your friends. That's what Jimmy's Three Things is all about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You could also find it on the Talkin' Baseball YouTube channel, and new episodes drop every Tuesday.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and it is time to dig into it with Julie Kelly, the great Julie Kelly, who has been keeping us up to date. I've been leaning on her hard for information about all the January 6th political prisoners. Julie Kelly didn't just show up to this 15 minutes ago. She's been talking about covering the January 6th political prisoners for a few years now. And Julie joins us now to go over all the latest and greatest when it comes to them and Trump. Julie, what happened today with Trump? And nothing good, I don't imagine.
Oh, boy, Jesse. It is like drinking out of a fire hose, as they say. There's just no break in the news to be had. So the big development this afternoon is the disclosure of a search warrant on Donald Trump's Twitter account. Not just that Jack Smith wanted all of the contents of his Twitter account, including DMs, including deleted tweets, but also that they wanted to prevent the former president from knowing about this and keeping it under what's called a non-disclosure order, basically under seal. Well, Twitter got this and fought the non-disclosure aspect of it under First Amendment rights and said, you know, we want to communicate with our users to let him know this is happening. So, of course, this search warrant was approved by none other than Beryl Howell, the Obama-appointed judge who is a rubber stamp for this DOJ, say the least, and forced Twitter not just to comply with the search warrant, but to go along with the non-disclosure agreement. And when they had about a 51-hour delay between the time that DOJ demanded they produce all of the records for Trump's Twitter account. The 51-hour lapse between that deadline and when they actually produced it, Beryl Howell handed down a $350,000 fine to Twitter for that brief delay, claiming that it's a $40 billion business and they can certainly afford it. So that's the latest development out of our corrupt Department of Justice and D.C. Courthouse.
Hang on a second, Julie. I actually want to focus on the last part here briefly. The judge, the supposed, you know, respectable judge, said he gave them a $350,000 fine because they can afford it. Do I have that right?
You have that absolutely right. Apparently, she said this in her order and in a hearing. And the appellate court judges, by the way, two Biden-appointed judges, one Obama judge on the appellate court, of course, upheld Obama judge Beryl Howell's ruling and said that she was perfectly in her rights, even though it was unusual fine of that amount that, of course, Elon Musk and Twitter has a lot of money, so they certainly can afford to pay that sort of fine.
Good. Okay. Julie, this Jack Smith indictment in D.C. is obviously the one you've been talking about it for ages. It's not that it's going to go well for Trump in any of these between New York and Georgia. We'll get to that in a minute. But this D.C. one is really, really the big boy, right? Do I still have that right? This is the one that has the potential to land Trump in prison.
It does, Jesse, and merely because of what we're just discussing right now, because of the judges, more importantly, who are involved. We not only have these Biden-Obama judges who are upholding this Twitter search warrant and preventing Donald Trump from knowing about it, but now we have Obama Judge Tanya Chutkan, who has handed down some of the harshest sentence in just regular January 6th cases, also authored a landmark 2021 decision that pierced, uh, that prevented Donald Trump from claiming executive privilege, keeping his records from the House Democrats' January 6th committee. She forced him to turn over months of records to this committee. So she's got her dirty fingerprints all over this corrupt selective political prosecution. This is what Donald Trump is walking into. And not just only are the charges a danger, the obstruction charge count alone is punishable by up to 20 years in prison. But this is going to be, if it ever gets to trial, held before a D.C. jury made up of voters of a city that voted 93% for Joe Biden and would love the opportunity to finally get Donald Trump to be one of the 12 people to finally put Donald Trump behind bars.
Okay, again, we're speaking with Julie Kelly, great reporter, talking to her about all the mess, the legal mess Trump's going through in the January 6ers. Okay, Julie, let's talk about that if it goes to trial, you just said. Obviously, I don't want Trump to be convicted, but if I'm facing down 20 years in a federal prison, I would probably be tempted, as many do, to plead out and try to get that reduced. Do we think that's an option? Do we think that's something the Trump camp is considering what they're facing?
I don't think so, because given the obstruction and then conspiracy to obstruct, even if he pleaded guilty to one of those, based on case law and precedent in January 6 cases, he could still be sentenced to 3, 4, 5 years in prison, even if he takes the plea deal. So there's no guarantee that accepting a plea on these four counts will keep him out of jail. Now, that being said, Jesse, there's no way that the January 6th case goes to trial before the election. Even in the best circumstances, the average charge to trial schedule in January 6th cases is 14, 16 some months, sometimes up to 2 years. So here we are, 14 months away from Election Day. There's no chance Jack Smith can put this trial on before then, nor do I think he wants to, because there is a political and professional risk to him. You know, Jack Smith doesn't exactly have a great record, as you know, Jesse. I mean, he was overturned by the Supreme Court 9-0 in the McDonald case. He got a hung jury in his prosecution of former Senator John Edwards. You know, he's not exactly got a good record. So he doesn't want to risk another professional humiliation and the very slim chance that a D.C. jury would throw out even one of the charges against Donald Trump. But this is going to be a huge battle. We already see the back and forth on just the protective motion. So there's going to be a lot of back and forth. And, of course, as I expect, and we've talked about, a superseding indictment, which means more charges, adding more defendants to this initial indictment.
Good grief. Okay, Julie, quickly, because I've only got a couple minutes left. I'm sorry I went long with you, but the New York stuff, Alvin Bragg, he's no joke. He's a Soros-committed communist. Donald Trump's being charged there with felonies. What do we think about that? Is that going to trial?
I don't know. I keep hearing different things that maybe the case will be dropped or there's some sort of delay. I believe, unfortunately, I can't cover that as closely as the other cases. But I think the last I saw, there was going to be some sort of delay. But there could be behind the scenes back and forth. We saw this a little bit with the pending indictment coming out of Fulton County, Fannie Willis against Donald Trump. I don't necessarily think that Jack Smith wants to share the spotlight with Alvin Bragg or Fannie Willis. He wants all of the attention on his two cases against Trump for classified documents and January 6th. So who knows what's going on behind the scenes related to those other cases. But I haven't really followed the status of Alvin Bragg's prosecution, unfortunately.
Okay, finally, this Georgia deal. I'm hearing that there's another indictment, some kind of freaking RICO law, like he's a mob boss, coming in Atlanta. Do I have that right?
Yes, I believe that you do, that Fannie Willis, since she's been conducting this investigation for, I believe, over a year, rounding up Georgia officials, and it looks like it will be a conspiracy, a racketeering charge, meaning that Donald Trump and some of his associates, to your point, are like, you know, Tony Soprano and his little ball, his mafiosos, trying to shake down, Brad Raffensperger for 16,000 votes. It's conspiracy to, I believe, commit election fraud, which is so ironic, Jesse, isn't it? Given all the election fraud in 2020, the one guy who would ultimately be charged for an election fraud crime could be Donald Trump.
Oh, Julie Kelly, you are the best. I'll let you go with that one. Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes tonight.
Thanks, Jesse. Have a great night.
You too. Dang, on, man. Rico. Like she said, like he's Tony Soprano. What a mess. All right, there. You're updated on that. We got other things to talk about. We're moving on. Do some emails. Do all kinds of stuff tonight. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, remember, you don't ever want to be a low-T weenie. You don't. You want to make sure your T levels remain high. Do you want to end up sounding like the GOP? Do you want to end up doing that? Well, that's not who we are. You know, if your T levels drop low enough, you automatically just walk around saying, that's not who we are. That's not who we are. You don't want to do that. So get on a male vitality stack from Chuck. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. You're going to feel superhuman. And your mind works so much better. You're so much more energized and focused. Testosterone is not an option. And it's not just for young bucks. No matter your age, whether you're 20 or 90, you need it. Get on a male vitality stack. Ladies, female vitality stack for you, all right? And save some money. 35% off subscriptions. Pretty freaking good. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Reminding you, you can email the show whatever you want. Your love, your hate, your death threats, your ask Dr. Jesse questions. All those are available to be emailed at jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I guess available to be emailed, that's probably not a right thing to say. That doesn't make any sense. You're right, Chris. Potato, tomato. What difference does it make? jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'm super excited. You know why I'm excited? Because Joe Biden had a sit-down interview. And let's just say this one went pretty much the same way all of them went.
There's a lot of good that's going to come from the sacrifices of dealing with taking on the climate crisis.
Look, I have a bunch of sound bites I'm going to get to, but we're just going to focus on that one real briefly here. Did you hear what he said? I'm going to play it for you again. It's only like 4 seconds long. Did you hear what's coming for you?
There's a lot of good that's going to come from the sacrifices of dealing with taking on the climate crisis.
Sacrifices. The sacrifices you're going to have to make. Because the system has already decided that climate change is real and man-made and it's a problem. The system has already decided that this problem has to be addressed. And the system has already decided that whatever those sacrifices are that you're going to have to make, they're worth it because the problem they invented has to be solved. Now, Joe Biden's easy to dismiss. Why? Because he's 150 years old and pooped his pants in front of the Pope. And so we automatically think we can just dismiss the doddering old fool. That if it was just Joe Biden, then we could dismiss it. It's not. This belief that man is changing the climate, I will say, as I've said before, it is the most genocidal belief system in the history of mankind. Once you have decided that man, the carbon in man, the carbon man breathes out, once you have decided that that is evil and is going to destroy the planet and you have to stop it, you have actually declared war on humanity. It is the ultimate communist thing because it's the ultimate in anti-humanism. You've declared war on humanity. I just think I might repeat that for the next 3 hours. They've declared war on humanity. They've declared war on humanity. They've declared war on humanity. They're not flowery, gentle hippies who just want you to drive an electric car.
There's a lot of good that's going to come from the sacrifices of dealing with taking on the climate crisis.
Have you ever eaten somebody? You ever thought about it? What about eating a family member? I want you to imagine sitting around your home and drawing straws. You ever do that? Draw straws? See who gets the short straw? Maybe it's movie night in your house and you, hey, let's draw straws. Whoever gets the short straw gets to pick the movie. Only you will sit around the house and you will draw straws and the person who gets the shortest straw gets his throat cut by dad and you have to chop him up and eat him. Now, maybe that sounds horrific, and maybe you just think I'm being over the top for radio. I would encourage you to go read about the Holodomor. I want you to go read about what happens when governments focus on wiping out the food supply of large quantities of people. That horrific story I just told you wasn't great fodder for radio. It's how people had their lives ended. Families in Ukraine sitting around drawing straws to see which one of the kids gets eaten so the rest of the family can actually survive. That's not pie in the sky horror movie stuff. That's the reality of communism. And that is the end result of this.
There's a lot of good that's going to come from the sacrifices of dealing with taking on the climate crisis.
Those sacrifices he's talking about are you eating your child. Those sacrifices he's talking about are more economic disasters and food dislocation than you can possibly fathom. Then just be glad you don't live in Africa, with all due respect to the people who do live in Africa and download the show. I appreciate you. But the Africans, they're just going to wipe out the entire continent. They're just going to starve all of them to death. These nations that need all these net food imports, they're already struggling because of Russia and Ukraine going to war. What do you think they're going to do when the elites of the world continue to eliminate farms, eliminate fuel? When the elites of the world declare war on oil and gas power mankind. They power mankind, and yet the president of the United States of America speaks like this.
Let's talk Gen Z, because they're going to play a big role in the next presidential election. And many of them are angry about the 7,000 oil and gas permits you approved since you've been in office. You promised no new drilling on federal land or offshore. Can you tell Gen Z that you haven't broken your promise?
Yes, because the courts overruled me. The courts said I couldn't do it. I want to stop all drilling on the East Coast and the West Coast.
I wanted to stop all drilling. That's not a political statement. That's not Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Nationalist, whatever you call yourself. That's anti-humanity. If you believe man is poison, if you believe oil and gas are poison, and you believe man should be reduced and oil and gas should be reduced, you're a genocidal monster. You're not a naive hippie. You're a genocidal monster who's going to kill more people than you or I can possibly fathom. I mentioned the Holodomor with families eating each other. If you'd like to read up on the Holodomor, there are many great books available. One that I love, I will warn you, it's a very heavy read, is Bloodlands. I need to make sure I repeat that again 8,000 times because everyone asks me, even though I repeat it. The book is Bloodlands. Bloodlands. Bloodlands is the book. Anyway, if you'd like to read up on what happens when a few million people die, that was the Holodomor, I'd encourage you to read Bloodlands. And as you read that, I want you to understand that's the junior varsity version of what will happen if these people get their way when it comes to oil and gas and climate change and humanity. When you read about families eating each other, laying around dying, that was the pregame for what Bill Gates will do, for what Joe Biden will do, for what Klaus Schwab will do. That was the pregame. The big dance is yet to come if these people are not stopped. I'm not quite done on this. We'll finish up my thoughts on this and go over the bribery stuff and all kinds of other stuff on the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's first give the tunnel to Towers, though. We all have to give. Now, I don't mean like right now. You can give right now, but we all have to give back something. It's just part of our requirement. We can't just be complainers. I don't like this. I don't like that. We have to be doers. We have to be builders. I love Tunnel to Towers because they are proactive about the command we have been given to care for widows and orphans. It has always been the most heartbreaking thing to me that Dad, the cop, takes off one night and kisses his wife and two babies goodbye and gets ambushed by some piece of trash and never comes home again. And that family is just devastated and uncertain and scared. And Tunnel to Towers can't fix all that. But you know what they can do? They can pay off the mortgage and ease the financial burden. You think that helps widows and orphans? It's everything to them. And when you give the tunnel to towers, it goes right where they tell you it's going to go. Go to T2T.org. T, the number 2, T.org. $11 a month is what they ask for. That's it. $11. T2T.org. Go now.
Hi, everybody. It's Katie Couric. Have you heard about my newsletter called Body and Soul? It has everything you need to know about health and wellness. From skincare and serums to meditation and brain health, we've got you covered. And most importantly, it's information you can trust. Everything is vetted by experts at the top of their field. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/bodyandsoul. That's katiecouric.com/bodyandsoul. I promise you'll be happier and healthier if you do.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for 30 minutes, I dive into three stories in Major League Baseball that I want to talk about, or I do a stat deep dive. Sometimes I create my own stats. It gets weird. It's now your go-to podcast for staying up to date and in the weeds with Major League Baseball. No topic is off limits or too small. Bad umpires, great pitcher-catcher duos, new rules, old rules, three things that I want to talk about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. I've been a sports nut my whole life, and there's nothing I love more than talking about it. If you're a sports fan, Wake and Jake is the place for you. Covering all the hot topics from the sports world, a lot of baseball, a lot of postseason coverage, mock drafts, awards, guest interviews, all of it. New episodes every Monday and Wednesday. Come watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.